In this episode, yours truly is a guest on the relatively new Nelson Nash Institute podcast, The Infinite Banking Initiative, hosted by David Stearns, R. Nelson Nash's son-in-law and president of Infinite Banking Concepts, LLC. He's also a co-director of the Nelson Nash Institute, along with his lovely daughter, Lee Barganier, who's Nelson Nash's favorite granddaughter, and the communications and marketing director at the Nelson Nash Institute.
James, thank you for being on with us today. And we want to get started just hearing your IBC journey, a little bit about how you got started. How did you discover the infinite banking concept? Was it with becoming your own banker? Did you meet Nelson first? You know, share with us how that happened.
Okay. And good morning, Lee, David. I was this morning, you know, just kind of going down memory lane and trying to pull up some emails to get my timeline. I'm not the best on dates and times, you know, with 100% accuracy. And even emailed my wife, Jana. It's like, hey, when did we do this? When did we do that? So thank you for the opportunity to even be here and go down memory lane. And I was looking through the emails. So been a licensed life insurance agent since 1991, okay, and had done different things. You know, I didn't come up in the old school mutual life insurance industry where you have all of the home office training and all of that. That's not my background. You know, I did like final expense, Medicare supplement, retirement planning, not all things to all people, but and if I even back up further than that, I originally went to work for a Fortune 500 company that wrote mutual funds and term insurance, yeah. Right? And I understand that A.L. Williams was a regional sales manager with them before he left and started that multi-level marketing program that he has since sold to Citibank, right? And there's a whole story there, right? And so that's the way I started, right? And back then, the mutual fund, the front-end sales load was 8.5%, okay? And then term, you know, so it's buy term and invest the difference, or buy term and, you know, invest the rest, whatever the slogan was. And they had that slogan or something like that.
So did Dave Ramsey buy that from them, or how did he coin that?
No, A.L. Williams. I think that's A.L. Williams, but right. Dave Ramsey, I think that they all – you know, kind of go back to like Crown Financial, and that argument of buy term and invest the difference, or term is better than permanent, is over 100 years old, or it's about 100 years old, right? So there's always that argument. The people who love investments, and they have no understanding, in my opinion, of dividend paying whole life insurance, or the characteristics of whole life insurance. Okay. that's the way I started, and I figured out really quickly that the market didn't always go up. It was not an Einbahnstrasse. It was not a one-way street, right? There were ups and downs, and, you know, the average rate of return and the actual rate of return, and then what the client actually receives as a rate, three different things, right? Then you have human behavior and all of that. Mm-hmm. You know, people literally, you know, buy high and sell low. That's literally what they do.
oh, yeah. Okay.
I mean, it is. And you know, the fear, greed, and all that. Anyway, that's the way I started. The markets wouldn't always go up, but I also seen clients, because I didn't have any clients when I started, right, in 1991. I go to work for this company. They have this training program, and then they give you a big book of orphan accounts, right? These are old accounts that the agents or advisors have left, and so you work those, and so you see a lot of older clients. And I've never met anyone in my life that outlived the need for death benefit. All right. So none of these clients back then, and this was when my eyes were, you know, I'm trying to figure out what I'm doing, what's going on, and trying to do the right thing. So I seen that the market didn't always go up, and I seen that people didn't outlive the need for death benefit, where you know, it's, you invest, quote unquote, in the market by term. When it runs out, you'll be self-insured. Right, your investments will have grown to the point that you'll self-insure. Mm-hmm. And let me be clear. Self-insured means you have no life insurance, right? Self-insuring means you have no insurance.
Well, it means you don't need any insurance.
Well, that's the way they promote it.
Yeah, right? You have enough assets, yeah. Yeah.
Right. And so I just haven't met those people, you know, in my humble opinion. And I mean, they could be very wealthy and have a ton of assets, you know, but typically when you have a ton of assets, you have a ton of obligations too. Mm-hmm. Right. And if I have, you know, life insurance and assets, oh my goodness, I get to spend and leave a legacy. Mm-hmm. Right. So, so from there, I was kind of disappointed, you know, that term wasn't necessarily, I didn't see that term was the best for the client. And I didn't see that, or I seen clearly that only investing was not the best for the client. Of course they hated whole life insurance. And, you know, we had all the articles talking about the evils of life insurance. Well, I didn't understand dividend paying life insurance. I didn't understand cash value life insurance. But from there, you know, I started doing the different things of small, face amount whole life, you know, Medicare supplement. And then I got up into retirement planning and did very well. You know, for 14 years I'm doing this, right? And $1 million roundtable producer. I'm a lifetime member now, you know, so I've produced quite a bit. And, you know, I was told by a life insurance company a couple of years ago that I have over $1 billion of life insurance written with that one company, you know, one company, right? And anyway, so that was pretty impressive, and I appreciate that. It was impressive to me. I'm not saying it's impressive to, you know, there's.
I don't see any trophies behind you. What happened to all that stuff, man?
They're all scattered out. You know, okay. I have some over there. You know, they're
okay.
They're all over the place. I'll put them all together next time if you want.
Nelson's the same way. He'd be given something, he'd put it in a box somewhere, maybe if he's lucky, but whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. I've got some that are quite a few. I've got unopened boxes too. That's for sure. So I, in the course of all this retirement planning, you know, trying to do better, I'm just trying to do better. I'm trying to do well for myself and my family. And I believe, and I still believe that can occur when I do well for our clients. Right. So I've been a student of, you know, my faith, number one, my profession. I've always been a student of history, and I've become a student of Austrian economics because of Nelson. In this vein of trying to do better, trying to learn, you know, I'm not the guy that, you know, I don't know everything. I haven't been everywhere and done everything, and I don't want to be that guy. I'm a learner. So trying to learn and educate myself to do better for my clients. I went to a 2-day seminar in 2005, right? And I'm getting these dates from the email, you know, history log that I was looking at this morning. And at that event, and it was hosted by some kind of life insurance or insurance agency. And let's see, it was over 2 days. They had different speakers, and all of the speakers, most of the speakers had books that they referenced. And so I bought all of the books, and one of the books was Nelson's Becoming Your Own Banker, right? And I took all these books home and put them on my nightstand, and my story's out there, and it's not going to change. And because, you know, it's my story and it's history. And I appreciate the opportunity even to share my story and for me to hear it and go down memory lane, okay? So I take all these books home. I put them on my nightstand, and I'm going to read them, you know, at the end of the day, at night. And I'm a reader, right? But I was also working very hard, very busy, and I kept looking at this stack of books. And I would start a book and not finish it. And literally over several months, I'm feeling like an underachiever. You know, I'm like, man, you're not even finishing any of those books. So I went through the stack and I picked out the thinnest book just so I could read it, get it finished. And it was Nelson's book. And I read it that night. And I was livid. I was like, you know, 14 years in the life insurance, and I had no idea that you could do this with life insurance. It's like, oh my gosh, this is good. I can't tell exactly how good it is, but this is phenomenal. And really, I was angry. And so in that book was Nelson's picture on the front of it. I don't remember what version that was.
Third edition.
And so I thought, man, this is really good. Is it? Yep. You know, I have clients have sent me, I have an original first edition, and then I have a first edition second or third printing. Yeah. I should put together something like that. I like it. So
I Nelson.
You did? Mm-hmm. I like it. So, you know, I'm thinking that this is really good. I can't believe it. And literally I'm angry. And I'm thinking to myself, well, I need to, you know, buy some of these books and give it to some of my clients that are smarter than me and to see if they see what I see. You know, is this like really? So I called the number on the back of the book and Nelson Nash himself answered. And I was shocked and told him who I was and what's going on. And we had a lovely conversation, the epitome of a Southern gentleman. And the conversation wound up like he said, boy, I hold 10-hour seminars all across the country, and you should get yourself to one. So I bought some books, and I went to, it was Teresa Dilatush in Northwest Arkansas, was doing the next event. So I drove up there. She allowed me to come. I called, and I sat in the back with a yellow legal pad and, you know, took copious notes. And I've done that every time I've heard Nelson. But so I drove up there and met him. He, you know, it was her seminar, but he, you know, he was very gracious and he remembered me and he remembered the conversation. And so we had a great conversation. And my memory from that is, you know, this man is legitimate and he is the epitome of a Southern gentleman, you know, and this, you can argue all you want with this concept, but you're going to lose if you're honest with yourself, in my opinion. Like, there's something better. There's something different. We're talking about controlling the banking function. That's what we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I drive home, you know, and I redo the life insurance that we had. And I, you know, bought policies, and they were issued in our first set of policies, mine and my wife, Jana's, was issued in 2006. I've seen them today, and it's with the company that I wouldn't buy from again, but I've not replaced them, continue paying premiums, you know, 18 years later. Yeah, this is 2024. And have been trying to encourage my clients to implement this in their life. And so, you know, when I returned, we redid our life insurance and I implemented this into my practice. And at that time, I was literally doing retirement seminars almost weekly. Mm-hmm. It wasn't quite weekly. I mean, the most event that we've done in a year was 27 at the time. But we were doing a couple of events a month or whatever the average was, 1.5 events a month. I don't know. We were working really hard. And I found that people couldn't really, you know, I have, and I believe in the idea of retirement, talked about retirement. Now I'm trying to move away because of Nelson from that verbiage to passive income time. There's no question about that. But doing these, quote, when I say the word retirement, we all know what I'm talking about, right? And so I'm doing these retirement seminars and I'm trying to integrate, introduce the idea of the banking function in Nelson's book, Becoming Your Own Banker. And man, it was difficult, very, very difficult, right? And so, you know, found out that was really not productive, right? It wasn't helping anybody. It's confusing them because they're like, I'm not financing anything at my age. I'm in retirement, whatever. So, from there, you know, I continued to do retirement seminars, and then we put together a kind of an infinite banking presentation I did. And then we would go to different real estate groups and doctors groups, chiropractic groups, dental groups, just groups where you could go, you know, even self-preparedness expos. Did a lot of those. And so we would, you know, buy a booth and sell books, and and sometimes you'd have the opportunity to speak, you know. And so I would speak, and my whole goal was to encourage people to buy the book and to educate themselves, you know. So we sold a lot of books and, you know, got a lot of new clients and did a lot of work. So that was kind of, you know, that's how I met Nelson. That's what kind of developed. Well, Nelson did a 10-hour presentation at that time, typically two and a half hours, 3 hours the night before, you know, 7 hours the next day. So we would, you know, I'm like, I'm just trying to sell books, right? And I sure can't convey this concept the way Nelson did. No way. I don't believe anyone can. I believe we all make a pretty good effort, you know, and there's some good work out there. But, and Nelson was willing, so, and he was traveling around. So I'm like, Nelson, you know, what does it take? And so he's like, just an invitation. So we started inviting him, and we would put together clients, and, you know, a group of 12 was probably the smallest group we ever put together. And then the largest group we put together was like 70, you know, and I would have some agents, encourage other agents, you know, if they wanted to, you know, their clients could come to our present or our seminars that we're hosting Nelson with, you know, if our clients could go to there. So that would mean that the client could have an opportunity to hear Nelson more often, because, you know, you weren't really getting any real knowledge of this concept unless you were listening to Nelson Nash. I know there are some, you know, agencies on the radio that promoted, you know, this idea under another name, and that's all good. But, you know, if you really wanted to hear Becoming Your Own Banker, the infinite banking concept, it had to come from the horse's mouth. And I don't know how many he was doing on a given year, but I know one year he did up to 40 or 45. And that's very impressive at his age, because, you know, if I met him in 2005, I don't have my calculator. He was born in 1931. You know, how would that make him? And he was working harder than most 40-year-olds I know today. Right. So that was very impressive. And then I had the opportunity to, you know, we would host him in Fort Worth, Burleson, Fort Worth surrounding areas. And every now and then somebody would host him in Houston or Oklahoma City, and he would fly in, and I'd be his water boy. I'd carry him down to Houston. That's a 3.5-hour drive one way.
Yeah.
And it's Nelson and myself in the car. It's like, and man, you can't buy that kind of time, you know? And the same way with Oklahoma City, it's 3 hours one way. And, you know, then there's the breakfast before, the dinner after. And even when we were hosting him, you know, it's like, I'm the one that would pick him up from the airport an hour and a half away. I'm the one that would deliver him to the airport, you know, when it was over, hour and a half away. I mean, that was priceless time, that one-on-one time. And that was very powerful. And we talked about a lot of things, you know. It wasn't just about life insurance, you know, at all. We did talk a lot about that, but we talked about many other things too. So I think that I don't remember the first time we hosted him. I think it was maybe around 2006 or 7. It was shortly after, you know, I met him, read the book, and then he used to host a think tank type of thing. And prior to that, there was some mastermind. There was a group of individuals that would put together a mastermind. Mm-hmm. And I know Nelson, and I know you, David, would go and listen to these different presentations from these individuals, you know, and they're really all across the country. And then it was my understanding that y'all would select from that some of those presentations and invite some of those speakers to speak at the think tank.
Well, that was the intent. That's a whole other episode, man. It turned into something a little bit different than that, but whatever.
Well, you know, with all these life insurance agents' egos, it's easy to turn into something different.
Yeah.
Look at Lee smiling. When y'all were in Dallas the other day, I got to share this, right? I'm like, Lee's busy working the cameras and taking care of everything. And I'm like, come here, Lee. I said, how's it going? I said, are you getting dipped in the grease, you know, dealing with all these insurance agents?
She's getting just enough so she doesn't run for the hills.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you're there, Lee. No, thank you. No question.
Thank you.
And you're welcome. I think y'all are doing a great job. Okay, so I do kind of say, I mean, I don't want to, you know, say anything that y'all have to edit out, you know, I mean. And I got nothing bad to say anyway.
No,
you're nothing but positive.
No.
Okay, so I do.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, no, I was going to talk about your podcast that you have, two-part series so far, Remembering Conversations with Nelson. So, you know, do you have anything, any of those memories that you want to share with this audience that maybe then they can go and follow up and listen to more of your stories with him, since you did spend so much time with him?
Well, I think that the listeners should go to the Banking with Life channel, or James Nethery channel, whatever it's called, because there are a lot of good videos there, and really not selling anything but the idea that you could become your own banker. And then, of course, we sell Nelson's books and other books. And some of those, if you go to our store at bankingwithlife.com, like the seminar, the 6.5-hour seminar, I mean, that goes right through to y'all's, to NNI's store, you know? Yeah. So my encouragement, Lee, because, you know, I think the first one or two episodes of the podcast was David came down here with Nelson, and we did it right here in this room. It's a different setting. Yeah. And then, you know, the last two episodes that you're referencing, there's clips from those recordings and then other recordings that we just did when we had Nelson here. And so my encouragement is just to go and listen to all of them. I think they're all good, right? Yeah. I would say that – go ahead.
So Nelson was episode one?
Yes, and two, I believe.
Yeah, okay.
And let me tell you what, the longest running episode was with you, David. So go back a couple of years and, you know, everybody's giving Nethery a hard time. It's like, oh, this is long form. Nobody's going to listen to that an hour, hour and a half.
The biggest grief. Well.
Yeah. Well, so yours is like 3 hours, sir.
Well, we were just having conversations while we were doing, just hucking and joking, man. But it was right. Good. It was good.
Turking and jerking, right?
Like jerking. That, yep. So
I asked my wife this morning, I was like, when did we go to Austria? So, you know, I know that Vienna was Nelson's favorite city in the whole world, and he'd been there many times. And I had the opportunity to, my wife and I, Jana, had the opportunity to go with Nelson, Mary, another agent, his wife, I think a physician out of California, and I don't know who all went. But, you know, just a year before, I did a Normandy tour in France. You know, I'd never been out of the country, never been to Europe. That was a big deal for me. I'm a country boy from Johnson County. So that was 2010. So 2011, you know, this guy who's not with us anymore, and he was, you know, active early on in the infinite banking concept. And he said, James, we're gonna take Nelson and Mary to Austria. You know, it's like the 100-year anniversary of Menger. Through Mises. Mm-hmm. And he said, you want to be a part of that? And I said, sure. I said, how much is it going to cost? And he said, man, do you have life insurance policies? I said, well, yeah. He said, well, finance it. I'm like, okay. So, you know,
does that mean it's not going to cost anything? No.
Oh no, it costs a lot of money. Right. And my wife, you know, Jana, she even asked, she goes, well, what's that going to cost? And I said, I don't know. But when we got back, I asked her what it was worth, right? You can count the cost. I mean, you get back and it's like, oh, it costs this much money. But what was it worth? And it was priceless. So I don't remember the cost. I could care less what the cost was. We did finance it. We did repay those loans, and we did repay those loans with interest. And the additional interest went to PUA on page 58. That additional interest became basis, right, to the policy, premium to the life insurance, and capital to our system. And it bought more death benefit. And do I care what the interest rate is? No, I don't care. I don't. Right. So, and I'm bringing that up because Austria, that trip to Austria was a big deal, right, for us. And I know that, that was in 2011. Okay. So Nelson's born in 31, right? So how does that, I should be better at math. This is the second time I needed a math or needed a calculator. So he's 70, right?
72.
72. He's born in 31. And we went to Austria in 2011.
There.
So all you listeners out here, okay, you do your math off the cuff. I love numbers. So,
we're financial professionals, man.
Yeah, right. It's like.
So it's 69 plus 11.
He was 80 years of age. Mm-hmm. 80 years of age. And so that made Mary about 76 or 77?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So we're walking all around Vienna, Austria, right? And Nelson had these shoes that had the rounded sole on them, like the tennis shoes, because he's getting additional exercise.
Right.
Somebody gave him those as a gift.
Yes.
They look like a rocking horseshoe kind of thing.
Yeah. I'm like, I couldn't even stand up in those things. Here he is, 80 years of age, and God bless Mary, always dressed to the nines, right?
Yes.
And so she's 76 or 77. They outwalked everybody. Mm-hmm. And I was the youngest. My wife's probably the youngest person there. You know, Nelson and Mary outwalked everybody. I'm like, man, this guy's impressive. It was a beautiful thing. I'd never been to Austria, and I've been several times since and want to go again. I have a love for Austria because of Nelson, you know. So those are the kind of memories that I like to reminisce about. But the episode on the Banquet Live podcast with Nelson, I think they're worth listening to. And I really, you know, if I could be self-promoting for a moment, you know, we do specials. We do a lot of long form. There's no question. But if somebody would take the time to listen to that, to get through the minutiae, to get through the nuance, there's some really good information there without being sold anything, you know.
It's a different format than most of the stuff you see out there and on YouTube and the podcast arena, because it's nice just when you're on there with Ryan, it's back and forth, you know, kind of complimenting styles. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. The way you do it, so it's, you get a lot of, there's a lot of good information, and Nelson was nuanced also. I think you and he had that in common. The way you talked about important things.
Yeah. And thank you. I completely agree. You know, I mean, with, you know, Ryan's background in Austrian, just economics and Austrian economics. I mean, he's got a PhD coming, but, you know, he's a pretty smart young man and can speak and write very well, too. And I mean, he's real English. I barely speak English, you know. I enjoy brevity.
Ryan's a trip. Are you in a good mood right now or what? Because I'm gonna ask you a question.
Well, yeah, sure, I am, and I'm in a great mood. Don't change it, right?
Maybe I should save this for the very end. I'll save it for the very end. Go ahead.
Oh wait, it's all going to be rosy until we get to the end.
No,
that's a teaser. Perfect. People will speed right to the end and listen to it.
It's supposed to be a joke.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Okay. So, but anyway, I see there's two paintings behind you. One over your right shoulder is you and Nelson. Mm-hmm.
Paintings. Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Prints. And the one over
I got you.
The one over the left shoulder is a picture of a dog with a sign barking with life above it. That's why I put my glasses. No, I'm sorry. It's not barking with life. It's banking with life. Got it.
Yeah, well, I'm going to tell Jana about that. Yeah, because Jana picked that. She did the set, right? So she did the color and that.
That's nice.
Great Dane. She collects Great Danes. But then the previous AV guy did this thing. He did that, put that together. And I love that. So, yeah, that was it wasn't funny, David, but good effort, you know.
Working good life.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. God.
Okay.
So let me say, too.
Go ahead. Go ahead. No, I'm sorry. You go for it. You go ahead.
Well, so no, that was like in 2011. And so we're doing seminars, you know, hanging out with Nelson as much as possible. Mm-hmm. You know, like I would go to other agents' events that they were hosting if they allowed. Some would, some wouldn't. And I understand that. But then when the Nelson Nash Institute was coming into formation in 2013, I had been videoing throughout 2000, I think kind of the end of 2011 or maybe the beginning of 2012, all throughout 2012. Creating this Banking with Live video, documentary style video, right? And that was, Nelson is in there, you know, so he came to town in Fort Worth. We did recordings here. I flew to Birmingham and we did recordings there. And we released that at NNI.
That's a great video. Yeah.
Hopefully it'll be updated this year. But, you know, just doing things like that with Nelson is very, very,
yeah,
cool.
That definitely is a quality video. Really is. We still promote that off our website too, by the way. So if you update it, let me know. So
I will. And you know, we're continually working on our website. I think we're going to make some great improvements over the next several months, where they can go and rent that. Anybody who wishes could rent it. So I'm excited about that. And then there'll be other videos available. But, and I gotta say, during that, you know, there, because of NNI's formation, it was in the beginning, early stages, you know, with the people on the board, people have been on the board and got a little pushback on that. There's a little angst about, you know, what Nethery's really trying to do. You know, we're trying to build NNI. So what's Nethery really trying to do? And I think all those got smoothed over. Nethery's not trying to do anything but create a video. But out of all of those conversations, you know, I did become the first authorized practitioner. You know, so I'm very proud of that. 001.
Yeah. Yep. Number one.
So.
Yep.
Yeah, that was a big deal, you know, being part of that formation. And even prior to that, you know, when there was going back to the little think tanks that were put together, the masterminds that were put together, you know, Nelson asked me one time, he said, James, because these masterminds, people were putting these, agents were putting these masterminds together, about 10 or 12 agents across the country. Right. And they would invite Nelson and David, right? Well, after the first couple, Nelson asked me, he said, James, why weren't you at one of those? Why weren't you at the mastermind? That's why I never going to get an invitation. You know, and by golly, the next year I got an invitation because, you know, I know Nelson told them, it's like, you need to invite this man. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I appreciate things. There's a lot of things that are unseen, right? That which is seen and that which is unseen. Even in this footprint, there are a lot of things that are unseen, right? And they're good.
Yeah. From my perspective, your relationship with Nelson was, I don't want to say more special, but I think it was more personal and different than most of the other professionals that hooked up with him, because you're, like you said earlier, you're both avid historians and readers. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that conversation that he'd share with me with you was like you would introduce subjects to him and books to him that he never heard about. Like, he was a big advocate of The Creature from Jekyll Island until you told him, well, the guy that wrote that book,
got all of his homework, all the research.
Use a different source. And so Nelson got that book, the one you recommended, Eustace Mullins. And then he said he never promoted The Creature from Jekyll Island again after that. I mean, in those different conversations about the, you know, the Tulsa riots and all this stuff like that, you're the one that you went back and forth with him, and you taught him a lot too, and opened up some doors for him that he never would have probably known about. So that, you definitely had a special relationship. You really did.
I, thank you for saying that. I believe we did. You know, he called me his favorite adopted son.
Yeah.
I've been called a lot of things, and I'm very proud of that one, right?
Yeah. So, no, he was good.
So. Yeah, and we spoke regularly, you know, and went back and forth. You know, it's like the there were really four unfinished works that I'm aware of, okay? One was the Tulsa Riots. You know, my heart of hearts, I really wanted to release a work on that in 2021, right? Well, Nelson passed 2019, and so we didn't get that work done, and all of the things that have gone on in the country since, you know, it's like, I might not be the best guy to finish that kind of a work, right? And then we spoken off a lot about the wars, you know, the like going back from the Boer War in the late 1800s, World War I, World War II, and kind of the economics behind that. And he had a series of books that he's like, James, you got to read these, and we should talk about these. We should do something after, you know, we get through to continue telling the story or drawing the parallels. And then his book, you know, Rethink Your Thinking, and you know, I can't really recall what the fourth one was, but, you know, in my heart of hearts, I'd like to do some of that work going forward, but, you know, time is the ally and the enemy, right?
I definitely have regrets too, of things that weren't started or completed or whatever, that would have been great resources to share with the public now. So
I know I've shared it with you, you know, over the past several years. I'm like, David, these things need to be, Nelson needs to be recorded. He needs to be recorded. And it really didn't, I didn't think it was, you know, really getting done, you know, like it should, but that's just me. So, you know, when we would host Nelson and a lot of the videos, you know, I mean, I've given a lot of the videos to NNI, you know, it's, and they've been used, but a lot of, like even the video series that exists today, when you go online to infinitebanking.org and you buy either access to the 6.5 hour seminar video, you buy the DVD itself. Some of those shots were in Fort Worth, Texas, you know. So my point is that I started recording them just for posterity, you know, as much as I could. And Nelson, can I record this? Yeah, you can do whatever you want. So, and I've not done anything with them, really. I mean, some of them might exist on,
I have probably four complete seminars recorded. And we also have... you know, the audio book is a paid voice on the audio book. But we do have Nelson's recording of, he wasn't reading the book, but he was using the book as a script to talk. So we have all that. And so if somebody wants to really hear his voice, then I guess, Lee, we need to probably figure out how to get that out there.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's, just make it available, right?
Yeah. Just make it available. Yeah, get it. Once they get it out there, it's audio is all it is. So anyway, you're right.
I know that the first time I heard the audio book, I was so excited when I discovered it was on Audible, right? And I'm so excited. And then I was so dang disappointed because, wait, let me be clear here. I don't know what I was expecting.
Yeah, you expect Nelson's voice, because when you read the book, you hear him talking.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I didn't hear that. And I'm like, dang, I was disappointed. That's my only disappointment. I love the audio book. Mm-hmm. You know, the listener needs to know that they need the audio book and the printed book, because the chapters and the sections don't line up exactly.
Well,
so
that's,
they need both.
Yeah, and there's a reason for that, and a point of clarity is when we created the Kindle version of the book, the Kindle format, changed all the pages,
right?
Because it's just a function of, you know, page 91 in the Kindle version is page 62 in the paperback,
right?
Yeah.
And so that's why we labeled the Kindle version the sixth edition, so it wouldn't be confused with the rest of them. Because you get somebody on the phone, you're going through BYOB with them, they say, well, go to page 57, and, you know, what do you see? Nothing. It's a blank page. That's, you know, so Shame on Me, the Audible book was a read out of the Kindle version. So it's the same exact content.
Yeah.
But if there's a reference to a page, and that's not going to sync up with the paperback.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the explanation, but there's no, you know,
shame on me.
It's just you just need both. Is my encouragement.
You do. Right. You need you need something to write on. You know, you need a pen.
You need to watch a video too.
A highlighter.
Yeah, I'd be interested to all the four different video recordings. You know, there's he did not say the same thing every time. There's no question, a lot of the exact same words and gestures, no question. But there's an awful lot of stuff in there that new in each recording. Just did not say the exact same thing every time he spoke, right? And
yeah.
So I'd be interested to see some of the differences between the four. Right.
Well, he was pretty consistent. And obviously over the years he added more content, but it wasn't, most of it was not related specifically to the IBC. It was commentary on other things.
Yes.
Right. Which is highly valuable. And so he does say the same thing when it comes to infinite banking, becoming your own banker. He goes through the book, right? No question about that. But the anecdotes and the stories or the analogies.
The jokes.
Yeah, it's like, I remember the potato skins versus the farmer and the potato skins, the pig farmer, I think, and the potato skins and the potato.
Yeah.
I'm like, Nelson, would you record that? And I don't think he ever did. He didn't, to my knowledge.
I think I have that somewhere. It's buried in 10 hours of video, but yeah, it's we've,
you should just
co-generation, right?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, you wind up with so much, death benefit.
At least taking notes here.
Yes.
That's a big deal, Lee. If you could find that and carve that out and make that available. I mean, because nobody could tell that story, like Nelson.
Got it written down.
Let's see. Yeah.
So, James, you were talking about when you first started trying to, work with your clients and get them to understand this concept, and, it was difficult. How did you overcome that? You brought Nelson in, you got so that people could hear directly from him. You got them to read the book. But how did you work alongside those clients and just really get them to understand how this is different? And, how did you overcome those challenges of, what are you talking about? Life insurance? What?
I appreciate the question. It's just dang near brute stupidity, right? And determination, right? but literally, I believe how I dealt with that, right? You come to discover that this really is, I don't care how many times you've heard it, you maybe even said it, this really is caught rather than taught. So I'm trying to teach, share with the attendees of a seminar or existing clients, right? The idea that this is a fabulous place to build capital, dividend paying whole life insurance. Well, and then two, your age, when you get my age, you're a little bit older. We all have a preconceived idea about life insurance. And as soon as you mention that word life insurance, back in the day anyway, people's mind would just slam shut, just steel jaw trap shut. But then, you try to integrate it. Like people are taking RMDs from their qualified plans if they're still insurable. Here's a place to put the money. You can leave a legacy. You'll have all these annuities or all these equity accounts. Here's another, non-correlated asset that you can consider, and so you try to do that. But ultimately, and I think especially for the new practitioners, you're going to run out of friends and family, right? You're going to run out of them.
Yep.
And then your success is beyond that. Right. It's beyond your friends and family. It's to the people that you don't know and haven't met yet. That's where your success is, in my opinion. And so that struggle, I think we all go through that. I moved away from, just because I love and care about somebody and I want the best for them, doesn't mean they're going to hear what I have to say or agree with me, right? So I've kind of moved away from the clients and you know, prospective clients when it comes to typical traditional, you know, financial planning, and just started talking about the infinite banking concept and becoming your own banker and what you could do if you controlled the banking function, what that would mean to you. And then you get off into the world of real estate. I thought, oh, that's a way to go. You know, Nelson loved real estate. I like real estate, right? People understand leverage and cash flows. That's a natural fit. Well, then you go off into the real estate, and I have discovered, and it can make people mad, and okay, and you can agree or disagree. And, you know, if you get mad, you can get over it. I don't care. There are two types of real estate investors that I have discovered. One is a cheap individual who has no money, wants to use other people's money, and is cheap, cheap, cheap. Right? It's cheap, cheap, cheap. So he's got the mind that conveys, if I want to buy a death benefit, I don't believe in life insurance anyway. But if I were to buy life insurance, I'd get the cheapest premium possible. Right? And then you have the other real estate investors. Maybe they started out that way and changed. I don't know. But they understand leverage and cash flow. Maybe real estate investing is not their primary thing. Maybe they're just, you know, successful people who accumulate capital and put it to work in real estate. Right? But they understand leverage and cash flows. This resonates with them. Resonates with them, right? So that was, that was very successful for me. But two, if I go back to, you know, Gina Wells, right? And I think she's a practitioner, she's a friend. Mm-hmm. Y'all know her, been around a long time, even though she's a young lady. She said a mentor she had one time told her, if you have to drag them in, you're going to have to drag them around. And my goodness, when I heard that, I related and understood that because I had experienced that. Mm-hmm. So now, so that's how I overcame it. Just dogged determination. I'm going to talk. If you'll stand still for 5 minutes, I'm going to tell you about the infinite banking concept. Right. And then I'll make a game. When we used to go to these events, you know, set up a booth, you come by and you were just selling books, right? I would be sitting down, you're on concrete for 2 days, and these people would come by, oh, what are you doing? And we'd make a game out of it, right? And we'd stand up and start talking about what were, you know, the books that we're selling. And the game was two-sided, right? So the game was see how long you could talk to people without mentioning the word life insurance.
Yeah.
Right. And then the other side of that was, the first word out of your mouth is life insurance, and then see how long you could still keep it at the booth talking. So, you know, it's the drag them in, drag them around, caught rather than taught kind of a thing. And so I just, you know, it's not my job to reap. It's my job to sow, you know, so put it out there. He that'll hear, he who has ears will hear, and let him come. And so does that answer your question, though? That's just kind of my experience.
Well, it definitely does.
Every trade show I've been to, all those booths are really cool, but everything they have, they give away, though. It's like cool stuff they give away.
Yeah.
So were you giving away the book at the booth?
No. I would be on the...
They didn't want to pay for it, did they? Because they just got a pen from the booth on your left side and a whistle from the booth on your right side. And so now you charge them for a book.
Yeah, no question. They walk around with a bag. You know, everybody does. Yeah. They fill that bag up, and they never. Yeah. And then they go throw that in the back of their closet and throw it out of their house. And 5 years later, and open it up and never use it.
Right.
No. So you know, if I was able to speak, you know, I would just. I'm just selling the book is all I'm doing. And you go back to this booth number to get it. And so they would flock to the booth, you know, because I mean, man, this was legitimate. Right. And I'm not overselling or, you know, saying, I mean, I'm not nothing flashy, right. Yeah. At all. That's not me. I market like this is a marketing piece for me. You know, it's like, seriously, it's attraction rather than promotion is my philosophy that I adopted from Jim Rohn. And it served me well. But to speak to your point, we would give away silver dollars, you know, so I collect coins, right, and rare things. So I like coins. So we would give a coin away if they would register for the coin, and we'd literally give them away. We've given away Kindles and different things. And, you know, I got very old because, you know, if you, and I don't mind giving, I still give things away. I mean, my wife has to grab my mouth every now and then and say, no, thank you. You know, because I'll give anything away. But so we didn't give books away, but we did give coins away. But then this one time I was at a Fort Worth gun show, right? I like ammo. I like precious metals, you know, silver, gold, and then lead and brass, you know, and the delivery system. I think they're all precious metals, right? So we're at a gun show and we're giving away, you know, all you got to do is put your name and email on there. And of course, you know, we're collecting. We're going to spam them with emails later. And this little kid, cute little guy, he's walking by with his dad and he goes, Dad, look at that coin. And he said, I want to register. He goes, I want that. And the dad said some snide remark like, nah, it's a joke. It's a gimmick. And I'm like, see ya, brother. I'd have given the kid a coin. I'd have just, because he was young and had interest, I'd have given it to him. Mm-hmm. But and my point there is that most people are really narrow-minded. And that's where the problem centers. It's right between our ears, right? It's like, this is not a big deal. If you're going to perform the banking function, if you're going to control the banking function, you have to have access to capital. And if you don't own or control that capital, you're going to have to go through a gatekeeper. Right?
Yeah, so, toll taker. Yeah.
That's right. If you want to control the banking function, you have to accumulate capital. And there's no better place that I'm aware of on the face of this earth to accumulate capital other than with a dividend paying policy with a mutual life insurance company. And I don't care. Well, I do care. I think some companies are better than others, but most of them in the big wide world in the North America today are very good companies.
Yep.
Right. So.
Yep. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so let me, I would like to, because I kind of did a timeline right this morning.
Yeah.
Calling my wife, dropping my daughter off at school. Hey, when did we go to Austria? I want to say in 2014, with this group of guys that were back then doing the masterminds, you know, there's about 12 or I think there's about 10 or 12 of us that we all flew in at our own expense to the home office of a life insurance company that was at that time heavily into universal life policies and had been for several years. Right. And we all show up and meeting in their boardroom with the president, the vice president, the marketing guy, the chief actuary, the underwriters, trying to convey to them the power of dividend paying whole life because they're a mutual company that had whole life products, but they had for the previous 15 or 20 years, I don't know, had been off into writing universal life, right? And variable universal life. I just seen that in the emails this morning as I was going up. But now today, that company participates, and I'm not saying it was all due to this meeting, but this is some of the stuff that the unseen, right? But they participate in the NNI every year. Do you remember all that, David? Do you remember any of that?
I did not remember until you just mentioned it.
Yeah. So I think that, you know, I think things like that are cool, you know, some of the memories go beyond Nelson, right? But none of it would have ever happened without Nelson. You know, I used to ask Nelson all the time, too. I said, do you have any idea how many lives you're going to affect? And he, you know, all humbled, like, he wouldn't even really talk about it with me. You know, he wouldn't really even acknowledge it. But, you know, if you think about that, and it goes back to Leonard E. Reed, right? So Leonard E. Reed mentored Nelson, and he also mentored, I don't know how many people he mentored, but I do know he mentored Dr. Ron Paul, right? And look at how many lives they have touched, right? And how many people they have mentored. It's a big deal. That's a very big deal to me. So he's not going to meet them all on this side, right? He meet him on this side and the other side. But even that brings back a memory, too, is some of the, I think is the night of clarity that my wife and I attended two of those. Carlos Lara hosted it, mm-hmm. and I believe Ann would put all that together. And I think it was a night of clarity in Tennessee, Nashville. At one of them, Dr. Ron Paul was a guest speaker.
Yeah, right? The first one.
Mm-hmm. Was that the first one? Perfect. Mm-hmm. Well, Ann Lara was in charge of the seating arrangements. right? And so she sat me next to Dr. Ron Paul. Yeah. And I thought, man, what a, you know, man, you know. And on the other side of Dr. Ron Paul was another physician, right? Dr. Ron Paul is a physician. And this physician had Ron Paul in the headlock the whole dinner. Like, it's almost like he's uncomfortable. You know, Ron Paul's like, gentleman, gracious, not uncomfortable. But he's like, my gosh, get this guy off of me. But I had a very lovely conversation with Dr. Ron Paul, and it was, you know, and I start talking about Leonard Reed and asking him about Leonard Reed. And that was a beautiful thing for me, right? And a memory that wouldn't have happened, an event that wouldn't have happened without Nelson. You know, and then later I said, Nelson, you know, I was sitting right next to Ron Paul. He chuckled. Yeah. You know, he said, I don't know. It was like on purpose, you know, like I was a plant, and I loved it. So that was fun.
Anyway. Good, good. Yeah.
I could go on and on.
So. That was fun. Yeah. Those are a lot of exciting stuff going on back then.
You know, to me, I think the listener, and this is this going out to the general public?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Right. I think if you have any interest in learning about controlling the banking function and what it could mean to you and your family, I mean, you owe it to yourself to either vet it and dismiss it or vet it and consider implementing it, this idea of becoming your own banker. And you should go to, you know, I'm sure it's all going to be tagged up everywhere, right? Infinitebanking.org, .org, not .net, not anything, but .org, and go to the Learning Center or the store, right? And buy the book, Becoming Your Own Banker. Buy the second book, Building a Warehouse of Wealth, right? Buy the access to the 6.5-hour DVD. I think if you put all that together, and I think you should also purchase How Privatized Banking Really Works. So, Nelson's first book, Becoming Your Own Banker.
We have a starter kit, James. The starter kit is BYOB, How Privatized Banking Really Works, Building Your Wealth of Wealth, and the Banking with Life DVD.
Perfect. How much is that?
$79.95.
$80, right?
Yeah.
And so
plus, we put an audio CD in there also. Of the book.
Man, that's worth $15 right there, $18 right there. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then how much is a 6.5-hour DVD or access to it?
$199.95.
But put in the code BWL20, okay? so you get a discount.
20% discount, yeah.
Right? Okay, yeah. So you're at $230, $240 with shipping maybe. So for under $250, you can go and get original works to vet this truly. Oh my gosh, that's what you should do. And if your education is not worth $250, I don't even know why you're listening to this audio or video. But I think it is, and I think it'll be the best $250 you've ever spent. Right? So that's my encouragement.
Yeah, it's most people don't have DVDs anymore, DVD players. So
yeah, I hear that, but you know, all you young men out there, 35, 40 years old, you know dang well you got a game box and these will play in a game box.
I have said kids, the same thing.
It's true, thank you.
Yes.
You know, and they all
yes. Your PlayStations, your Xboxes, put it on there.
Well, right. I guess where I'm going, James, is that you need to have a downloadable version of Banking with Life. That's what I'm going with that. So
no, I agree, and we're working on that. We just, I think, got the function, the legitimate functionality of renting it, you know. I'm working on it. Cool. Sir,
good man.
Well, James, we're coming up on an hour here, and I want to, like I said, respect your time. Is there anything else that you want to share before we wrap up for the day?
No, I'm just full of encouragement. You know, I appreciate y'all's work. My heart goes out to you because you have to deal with agents all across the country, and don't misunderstand me. You know, I love agents, but, you know, they can wear you out if you let them. So, you know, I appreciate y'all doing the work that you're doing. I'm really glad, Lee, that you're there. I mean,
so am I.
You have no idea, right? And so, you know, keep going, keep going. You know, that's my encouragement. Just keep going.
Keep learning.
Right.
Keep being a people person, you know.
Don't be discouraged. I think that people will hear that over and over and over again. If you are, listening to these podcasts, if you are attending a think tank, if you're attending a coaching academy, you're hearing that message over and over again. Keep learning, keep meeting with other people, talking with other agents, and, you know, learning. Don't ever stop learning. And I think that this community overall is very supportive and very encouraging of each other. And because we all want this to be practiced the correct way. And, you know, that is our purpose, is to share that with agents and beyond, with the general public.
Yep. I agree. Well said.
Well said. You know, it's, you know, like, you know, Nelson coined another phrase: life insurance agents hate each other's guts, right? They want to be on top of the pile. And I get it. You know, you got to make a living. But one of the things that we're trying to encourage is collaboration and support within the practitioner community. And what does that look like? Well, it looks like not replacing policies, right? It looks like if you have expertise in one area, you can offer that up to help somebody else and whatnot. So, there's a lot of ways to talk about the collaboration piece, but that's kind of a focus that we're trying to promote within our community. And because we only have like 325 authorized practitioners out there, and how many Americanos need IBC? Okay, there's a lot we need, a lot of growth that we can achieve.
So. Yeah, I've seen different numbers. You know, I think in America, 335 million people, not including all the relatively new imports. I don't know that total, but whatever the government says, it's much bigger. Yep. I digress. About 175 million I've seen from the life insurance industry. 175 million eligible Americans are underinsured or have no insurance, right? Yep. The market is very broad. But I love you, David, but I got to say collaboration. That's almost like a new buzzword. What the heck does that mean?
Well, work together. Yeah, I'm not trying to be a buzz queen.
But doing the right thing by not replacing, you know, not just, yeah. It, to me, and I understand, I see a lot of people, a lot of clients, they want to become practitioners, and, you know, they love this and they want to become an agent and they want to go do it because everybody thinks the agent's, you know, multimillionaire and they're just commissions are out the wazoo. It's like, this is work. This is a lot of work educating people and encouraging them to consider, you know, what's really going on and pointing them to the correct resources, in my opinion. It's a lot of work, and people don't typically understand. And I'm not a water boy for life insurance agents, but, you know, people don't understand the work that goes on behind the scene, you know, what it takes to get up day in and day out and actually make progress, you know, pushing back the frontiers of ignorance. So I'm not saying it can't be done. You know, the average life insurance agent's age is like 63, I believe, and we need young people in the industry. I get all that, but you don't have to be a life insurance expert. I mean, you don't have to become a practitioner to help people, right? If you want to do that, perfect. You know, but you need a good mentor. You're just going to starve to death like we all did in the early years, you know, my humble opinion.
Right.
So, you know, and I support the Nelson Nash Institute, and I support the education of it, because I firmly believe that if you, the agent, the individual who wants to, you know, promote this idea of becoming your own banker, if you can promote or convey the Nelson's message in becoming your own banker, and you have some understanding of life insurance, and it does matter, right? Then I think the combination of those two, that and good hard work for the right purposes, and it's a hard win for everybody. The life insurance companies win, the consumer wins, the agent wins, and you have to do the right thing if you're going to be successful. To me, in my position or my opinion, is no business is better than bad business. Period. So the idea of replacing policies and the idea of you know, beating each other up because of whatever reasons is not becoming, and it surely is not becoming of the Nelson National.
It's a lose-lose situation. Yeah. So we did post a listing of ethical standards that we're looking for from our practitioner community. So,
you know, most of the ones I meet, they're salt of the earth people. I mean, I know y'all have allowed some in that I wouldn't, but that's me, whatever. But
they can maybe meet other people at where they're at, where you can't meet them same people where you're at because they're different people, but whatever.
You can justify it however you want.
Yeah. It's okay. Yeah, that's what I'm doing, man. That's what I'm doing.
It's all right.
It takes all kinds, as long as they're, it's a constant fight. I'm gonna be the first to admit that. So
I've been a fanboy of yours for years. You know, we've spoken an awful lot over the years. You know, throughout the day, and my heart has, and I've even expressed it. You know, almost every time. You know, my heart goes out to you. You've got to deal with the agents. You know, I sure wouldn't do it. So I'm glad you're doing it, and I'm glad that you're doing it. You know, Lee, I wouldn't do it. And my tolerance level's too low. And I'm not saying good, bad, or indifferent. You know, I don't hate agents' guts. I think that they should do better. But, you know, you've had to endure more than
we have different missions to do. And I've always been a glutton for punishment too, by the way. So there you go.
Okay, listen, I had fun. We can philosophize all day long and, you know, do another episode on whatever.
We'd love to have you back. Yes, we'd love to have you back on and to get into some topic discussions as well. But, we wanted just to kind of, we're doing this first rounds of just introducing people to the broader community. And we, again, really appreciate your time, James, and all that you've done for the Nelson Nash Institute over the years. And, you know, just the foresight that you had to have all those video recordings of Nelson and that you have all that history on file, that's phenomenal. So we appreciate you and how you continue to spread the message.
Thank you, Lee. I appreciate y'all. And y'all have a good rest of your day. And I'm excited. I want to know when this comes out.
Okay, James.
You got it.
Love it, bud. Thank you.
All right. We'll see y'all. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on the Banking with Life podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, make sure to like and subscribe and click on that little notification bell. Otherwise, join us on Apple Podcasts and Stitcher for weekly content.